Hello, I'm Rebecca Robinson, your host for the More to Life podcast in West Kelowna. Stories of people's lives have always fascinated me, and I believe they're one of the best gifts we can give. Our testimonies on how God delivers us through challenges or dark places inevitably gives hope and can help others see a light at the end of their tunnel. Join me as I interview varied guests who bravely tell their stories for us to be encouraged by. Here we are again at the More to Life podcast, and today I'm excited to welcome Margaret Mary. She has moved to Canada from Ghana, West Africa, and she's been attending Emmanuel for
24,
almost a year.
Yeah.
Excellent.
Yeah.
Can we just jump right in?
Sure.
All right. I'd like to know, so that we can get an idea of your life and who you were maybe as a young person, if you could share any memories that stand out or significant events that would give us an idea of what your childhood was like.
Well, I spent, you know, all my life in Ghana until I came here, with the exception of, I think, 4+ years, nearly 5 years that I spent in England. And but immediately after that, it was my husband who was doing his PhD at the time. After he finished, we just went back home to Ghana, and I've been in Ghana all the time. So, well,
what about your childhood, though, as in your family? Like, do you have siblings, or
okay,
what was that like?
I come from a family, a big family. My mom, my dad, and I'm the first of 8 siblings.
Oh, wow. Fun.
So I have 7, you know, siblings. Mm-hmm. We are 3 girls and 5 boys.
Wow.
And home was, oh my God, home was always rough and tough, and but it was fun. It was good. And that, of course, that's where my childhood years were shaped, I would say. Mm-hmm. And my parents did all they could to provide us with good upbringing, good education, and, you know, whatever we needed. Memories that I had, actually, when I was given birth to, my parents were still in school.
Oh, okay.
Yes. And so I spent the first 5 or so years with my grandmom in the village.
Okay.
And it was great.
What made it great? What was so great?
Village life. Ooh. To begin with, I lived with my grandma, and you know what grandmas can be. They let you do whatever you want to do. They are full of love. They are not as strict as the parents.
Right.
And our village, my hometown, was a small one at the time, and everybody knew everybody. And so, you know, you could go from house to house, play, have dinner, sleep. Mm-hmm. Everybody knew where everyone was. Mm-hmm. I loved that. And of course, things are not the same anymore today because time has passed.
Right.
Yeah, so that's, you know, one of the early memories, yes, that I have.
Yeah.
And when my parents were out of school and were living in the capital city of Ghana, which is Accra, mm-hmm. I moved in with them. Of course. And settling in was difficult at first because I found them too strict, I didn't like city life.
Right. And you were about 5 or 6 then?
Yeah.
Oh, that's a...
About 5.
That's a hard transition.
Yeah, it was a hard transition. I always used to cry that I would go back to grandma.
Yeah.
But then, well, eventually I settled in, started school.
Right.
And... well, that's it.
Okay.
In school, in early school, well, I went to primary school. and middle school and secondary school and university.
Okay. What did you try to, what did you take in university?
University, I did, I studied social sciences with emphasis on economics and sociology. Mm. And I also did education, a diploma in education alongside.
Oh, excellent. Yeah. Busy lady. It's a lot of studying.
Yeah.
And did you meet your husband at university then?
No, I met him after I had finished school.
Oh, okay.
I've finished university and came out and was working. Yeah. And then, well, it's interesting the way he met me. I used to do programs on Ghana TV, documentaries, and he had seen me, and a friend of his was saying that he knows my dad, and so he said, wow, link us up.
Yeah, let me know.
And so he did.
Wow.
And my dad was also in the in it all.
Yeah. And, oh, okay.
And that's it.
And that was that.
We met.
Okay. Was it kind of love at first sight then for you? Or?
I would say we, well, he used to come visit with his friend because his friend was my dad's friend.
Oh, okay.
And he would come along. And he was a lecturer in the university, a very young lecturer who had just, you know, also finished and was a teaching assistant and, you know. So he would come. Well, we met and it took a bit of time, but then one thing led to another and we got married.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. Excellent.
Yes.
Good. And so did you keep working and did you have children?
Oh, yes. I kept working. Actually, when not long after we married, in fact, he left for England to go do his PhD.
Okay, yeah.
And I followed him after. By then, I was pregnant with my first, with our firstborn. And I joined him at our firstborn in England and stayed, you know, until he finished his PhD and we came back home where he continued with his lecturing. And that's what he did, you know.
Okay. Until, at the university, the same one?
Yeah. At the University of Ghana, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Wow, excellent. Yeah. And so did you, how long were you in England for?
For almost 5 years.
Okay.
Yeah.
And how many children did you have altogether?
Just one. Oh, I mean, our first one I had in England.
Okay.
I didn't have another one until we came back home. And then I had two more.
Oh, okay.
So I have three sons.
Wow.
Yeah.
Amazing. And I've seen your son in our church on Sundays.
Yes, yes, yes. And that's the last one.
Okay, last he's your youngest.
One. Sorry?
He's your youngest then. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And so
mm-hmm.
I've noticed that he's nonverbal or non-speaking. Can you explain
that one? Yes, he's got special needs. He's on the spectrum.
Okay.
And he is verbal.
Okay.
But he talks very little.
Right.
Very, very little.
Right.
He will answer in monosyllables and try as much as possible not to speak. But he can speak.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. He always is so happy looking and smiling and shaking everybody's hand.
Oh, yeah, he's always smiling.
He likes to make connections. And
exactly.
Contact.
He comes to shake your hand.
Yep.
Yeah, when he
What's
sees
his name?
You. He's called Kweku.
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 Okay.
Yes.
Oh, good Kweku. To know. I'll say that next time I see him. Good to know. Okay, excellent. So that's a good overview of kind of your life. Is there anything else that kind of stands out as a, you know, when you're raising your children and being a mother, something that was challenging or?
Well, life can be a challenge sometimes. Most
just
of the
having
time.
Three boys, really.
Yes. Now, the husband that I am talking about, he passed on in 2020.
Uh-huh.
I lost him. And that was, you know, it was hard on not just me, but you know, the whole family.
Mm-hmm.
The boys were sad.
Of course.
Yeah, they were. And just 8 months before then, my dad had also passed.
Oh.
And I'm a daddy's girl.
Right.
So it was also hard on me. And it was just, let's see, he passed on suddenly, just like that.
Your dad?
He had a massive stroke.
Oh, wow.
And passed because he was a very strong man and, you know.
Mm-hmm. How old was he?
He was 81,
okay.
Getting on to 82.
Mm-hmm.
Very strong. And I think that was November.
Of 2019 or?
Yeah, 2019, yes.
Mm-hmm.
And then in December, my husband was diagnosed with a brain tumor.
Oh my goodness. Wow.
And
that was a surprise for sure. How did they find out?
Yeah, he was getting headaches.
Okay.
And then he started acting out of character.
Hmm.
So yes, we used to, you know, go to the hospital because he had like health issues like hypertension and diabetes and all that.
Okay.
But that was not diagnosed. The brain, you know, tumor was not diagnosed.
Yeah.
Until he started acting out of character. When we went to see his doctor, he said something. I forget. He said we were taking away his fundamental rights.
Oh, wow.
He said something funny.
Mm-hmm.
Well, not funny, I mean, but...
Not to him.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, not like him. And the doctor requested an MRI of the brain. I think she suspected it. So we went, and there it was, a tumor.
Wow.
And...
Were they already able to tell what stage it was at that point?
No, at the time, at the MRI stage, the new neurologist, neurosurgeon who saw to him said it was a glioblastoma.
Okay. Yeah.
glioma.
Okay.
Something like that. And that's quite an aggressive form of brain cancer. So he wanted to do a biopsy to find out, you know, more about it so that he'd know the next step. And that was around January, February. And just when, you know, he was getting ready for that, then the lockdown, you know?
Oh, right, of course. Yeah, March 2020.
Yes. And in Ghana, I mean, lockdown was global.
Yeah.
If you remember.
Mm-hmm.
And surgeries said they were only concentrating on COVID patients. And actually, well, the hospitals were quite overwhelmed.
Yeah.
So, well.
Wow, where does that put you?
Yeah. Oh, my God. That was stressful.
That's so stressful.
That was stressful.
On top of everything happening in the world.
Yes.
Mm.
And he went on admission because he would have a crisis. So he went on admission and was in our main hospital. They call it Kolebu Teaching Hospital, the biggest hospital in Ghana.
Mm-hmm.
And the doctor discharged us because he said it wasn't a safe place to be at the time with all these COVID cases so on.
Yeah.
So we had to go home. And I have a nephew who used to work in a dental practice. And he had, you know, knowledge in injection. I mean, he had some medical.
Sure.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So the neuro team trained him on how to take care of him, especially the intravenous stuff.
Okay, wow.
Yeah, because he deteriorated quite fast.
Yeah, yeah.
Quite fast. I mean, I was shocked.
Yeah.
and had to be, you know, given injections, oral medication, this, that.
And was it mostly for pain, or was it they were trying to shrink the tumor, or was it chemo-like?
No pain to, you know, relieve him of the pain.
Right.
He was on, you know, all sorts of, I now forget what you call them, but whatever they give you to bring down pain, of course, painkillers, mm-hmm. strong painkillers, mm-hmm. and then whatever would, how do you say, relieve the, yes, there's a swelling in the brain,
sure, yeah.
but then to not cause so much stress on the surrounding, mm-hmm. you know, areas yeah, of the yeah. Yeah, brain. So
at this point, and dealing with all of this, and the shock of losing your dad, and this news of your husband, where was your faith? And were you? I didn't ask if you were brought up with faith in your family or...
My faith, well, my family, we all... found Christ, except for my dad, but he did just before he died.
Okay.
Yes, because I was
good.
I mean, I kept on hammering God in heaven. I said, God, please, he cannot, no, family salvation. You mention it in the Bible.
What was it about him? Was he just...
Family salvation.
That part I know, but... Yeah. About your dad, was it more like just a...
Oh, he just wasn't convinced.
Just wasn't convinced.
Okay. He just wasn't convinced.
He was like, that's good for you, but not for me.
That's it.
Yeah.
That's it. He thought we were crazy. So, but then it did have a big impact on my faith.
Yeah.
I was like, God, where are you? What's going to happen? You are the God of healing.
Mm-hmm.
God, please come through for us. We prayed. Mm-hmm. We prayed. I mean, I had praying partners, people all over our church. Even though we were in the lockdown, we used to have TV, I mean, like online.
Right.
Online church and so on. And we're praying. But well... As the Lord would have it, he passed. That was in July, on the 4th of July. He had independence from earth. But then I think it was God who, you know, kept me to himself, who did not allow me to abandon him, mm-hmm. he God. Because, you know, even though I felt... betrayed, there was another part of me which kept saying, well, have you forgotten the verse in the Bible which says that the Lord, you know, he finds joy in his saints who die in him.
Uh-huh.
And of course, my husband, you know, was a full Christian.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, so... and everybody has to die anyway.
Mm-hmm.
If you don't die, how do you go to heaven?
That's a good question.
So, well, you know, all these thoughts were running in my head. And during those times, maybe I would come across a passage somewhere, even if it's not the Bible I'm reading. Reading a magazine, reading anything,
sure. mm-hmm.
or written somewhere. And it was like God was talking
it
to
was
me.
Good to you.
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, that's good.
So I took it as consolation, you know, God talking to me, trying to console me.
Mm-hmm.
And, well.
Did you, would you say you went through all of those supposed stages of grief? Not supposed, I mean, I know that they are there, like mm-hmm. anger and depression, and yeah. it was just the work of calling on God consistently, or what else kind of helped you through that?
Well, I mean, I had a lot of friends.
Okay.
Yeah. Mm. From church, and my family, you know, mm-hmm. was also strong behind me. Who would visit even though it was shut down.
Right. Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
During those times, they would visit and call me so many times.
Yeah.
You know, to try to offer me help.
Because it was such a time for so many of isolation.
Oh, yes.
You know, that to have to go through that at the same time.
Oh, my God.
And all they could do was call, but they actually did come over and visit you.
Yes.
Oh, that's good.
Yes.
That's good.
Yes.
To hear.
Oh, yes.
And your kids, how did they handle this? How old were all of them then?
My first and second. I'm actually, the first one is still here in Canada, has been in Canada since 2010. He attended.
Okay.
UBC.
Okay.
O,
mm-hmm.
Yes, in Okanagan here.
Mm-hmm.
And the second one was also in Halifax, attending St. Mary's.
Okay.
And the third one was with me.
Right.
Yeah, so they were away and they couldn't come because no plane was flying.
Fly. Yeah. Oh, that is so sad.
Yes.
How very hard
yes,
for them.
Yes, yes. Shut down.
Yeah.
That is what it meant. And at the time, we tried to fly my husband, you know, out of the country for treatment.
Okay.
And shut down.
Oh, wow.
And
so many things working against.
Sorry?
So many things working against you from what
you're
trying to do.
It looked like everything was set against.
Oh.
You know, everything.
How did you cope with that? How would you cope with that? Except just throw up your hands and just say, I have to keep giving this to you.
That's why I'm saying God sustained me at the time.
Mm-hmm.
And I came out sane.
Yeah.
All thanks to him.
Yeah.
Yeah. It was tough.
Absolutely.
It was tough.
Yeah.
It was tough. Mm-hmm. But then he pulled me through and here I am now. So it was after that my firstborn here said, well, since talking to you, I can see you are not yourself anymore. Just come over. I'm going to, you know, arrange sponsorship for you. And I had retired because in Ghana, you retire at 60.
Oh,
yeah,
okay.
Mandatory.
Mm-hmm.
And I had retired and, you know, I wasn't really doing much, anything.
Right.
So my son said, well, come over.
Yeah, good. Come to Canada where your boys are. Absolutely.
Yes, yes. But the second one went back, eventually came back home.
Okay.
He said he wanted to be home because he wanted to find closure, you know. He was grandpa's boy, that's my dad.
Yeah, yeah.
And he was, I mean, dad's boy.
Yeah.
My husband.
Yeah.
He even looks like him. Of all of them, he's the one who
and he would be buried there still to go visit. Yeah.
Really looks like him.
Oh.
And they had their own, you know. Yeah. So he came back home. He's still back home.
And he's doing well. He feels like that's helped him.
Yeah, it helped him,
yeah.
I think.
That's
it helped
good.
Him. He will decide if he wants to come back to Canada.
Mm-hmm.
But for now, he says.
Yeah.
Yeah, so those have been the two significant things.
Absolutely.
Like my dad and then my husband within 8 months of each other.
Yeah. And it's not easy moving to a brand new country either.
Yeah.
Is your mom still in Ghana then?
Yeah, she is. In fact, she was living with me until I came here.
Mm-hmm.
So she's just going to live with another sibling of mine.
Okay.
She's fine.
Oh, good.
We talk so often.
Oh, good.
Yeah.
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 And now she can probably fly here to visit if she needs or vice versa,
mm-hmm.
right? Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So
mm-hmm.
in all of this, what would you say that you learned about who God is and how did your life help you learn this about him and his character?
Well, you know, the walk with God is not a sprint.
No.
It's a marathon.
Yeah.
It's all life.
It's a trek.
Yeah. When I first accepted Jesus, you know, as my Lord and Savior, I think I had just started university.
Mm-hmm.
And it was, you know, you expected God to do certain things and they didn't happen, and you would go into a corner and sulk, slink yeah. away.
Our initial understanding of what it's supposed to be like. Wait a second.
and fall back. Mm-hmm. Is it backslide?
Backslide,
yes. And then all the time, what I know now about God is he never lets go. Mm. God will come back for me mm-hmm. every time. Mm-hmm. Okay, he would let me go wallow a bit, but then he would find me again, all embarrassed and shy, come back. And when things didn't go well the way I expected,
yeah,
I would slink away again.
Yeah.
But then, now, for the past how many years, I'm like... I'm intentional about staying with him. I found out that God, yes, he panders to us. In fact, he spoils us.
Hmm.
Yes, he yeah. comes down to our level.
Yeah.
But then he has his own, like a loving and strict parent, he has his own principles, which he will help us if we ask him.
Mm-hmm.
To adhere to, and he will always watch out for us and make yeah. sure that we stay with him.
Yeah.
So I've come to the realization that the best way is with God.
Mm-hmm.
And I will stay with him. I will not. He knows best. He created me.
Right. Exactly.
He holds my life
yeah.
in his hands.
Yeah.
And all the, what he says in the Bible, like in Jeremiah, the plans I have for you are plans of good and not evil.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that comes back to me a lot.
Hmm.
And I'm like, yes, it's got to be true.
But you must have questioned that.
Oh, yes, I did. Oh.
You must have gone, well, I know this is verses here, but...
But then, now, it doesn't look good to me. It may be good to you because you are yeah. not in my shoes.
Yeah, exactly.
That's what I used to say when I was much younger.
Right, right.
And but now I've come to realize that...
we like might not parent, see the good plans, but yes, they are good plans.
Yes, yeah. yes, good plans. Like a parent who knows what's good for their child.
Right.
Even when the child doesn't think so.
Right.
Yeah.
We can kick and scream, but that's yeah. not going to get us the good plans also, right? That's awesome.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And so who would you say Jesus is to you? Is there kind of a differentiation in your relationship that you've found or?
Oh, Jesus is my, he's God come in the flesh.
Mm-hmm.
To... redeem us from the power of sin. You know, the power of sin is where your default is set to sin. No matter what you do to mm-hmm. try to be good, a time comes when you default yeah. to normal. And normal, when Jesus is not your, when you have not accepted him as your personal savior,
mm-hmm.
default is to... sin.
To make mistakes.
To do, mm-hmm. yeah. For sin to have power mm-hmm. over you.
Exactly.
But then, it's true. Jesus did come to break the power of sin over us. Because you find it not so difficult to do what he wants. Or should I say, if you're going to do what is wrong, sometimes you just... especially at the beginning, when you are a baby Christian,
mm-hmm.
oh, you just do it. And then later you go, you are like, oh my God, what did I do? You know, but then as you mature, you begin to hear the Holy Spirit. And if you're about to do something that is not... that doesn't sit well with God.
Yeah.
You get a pullback, I would say.
Sure, yeah.
In the spirit. And then you realize that, no, I shouldn't do this. Mm-hmm. But that takes time. Mm-hmm. It takes time.
It's recognizing that Holy Spirit, recognizing that conviction and actually listening to it.
Yes, it's a conviction. It takes time. Yeah. And I guess at the beginning, I was, well, apart from not knowing much about what a relationship with God entails, I was also impatient. Whenever I went, I strayed, I just gave up on myself.
Hmm.
And I said, no, I don't think I'm good enough.
Right. You listen to the voice then that wants you to bring you down. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. But then I realized, many years down the line, like I realize now that it's all part of life's training, life mm-hmm. with God, that is. The walk with God. That's why I said it's not a sprint.
Mm-hmm.
It's a marathon.
I like that because then you don't feel like you need to take on guilt or shame about the past mistakes that you've made. It's all part of the learning.
That is it.
We don't get mad at a child for falling down when he's learning how to walk.
No. Yeah. It's all part of it.
Yeah.
And God is very patient.
Yeah.
And he knows our hearts.
And it's so much love.
Yes.
It's so much love to give to us.
Yes.
We just receive that. Yeah. Oh, I love that. Do you feel like there's any calling on your life right now or calling on your heart?
Well, I do know that I have a lot of feeling for people, especially suffering people, you know. Perhaps that's why I love my job at the Salvation Army. And I also like to mentor people, to counsel them. I'm not a counselor, mm-hmm. no. But then I like to listen to people and share in whatever they are going through and let them know that they are not alone.
Right.
They are never alone. Mm-hmm. Life can be tough.
Yeah.
And they shouldn't give up on themselves or on life.
And there's almost nothing better than sitting with a person that has experienced that loneliness and the grief and don't have to be a counselor. You just have to be there and be in the spirit, right?
Yeah. Yes.
Well, it's excellent. Well, it sounds like the Salvation Army is a good place.
Yes.
To meet some people to be a part of their lives.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's excellent outreach. Cool. And so I always like to ask from the perspective now of you being a widow and also having moved to a different country and faced loss like that, what would you like to tell people that maybe don't know what it's like? Like, what does a widow need? What would be something that would have been a great help to you? Or what should others know around you?
Oh, well, just that, widows are people who, you know, still want to be friends with everyone else
mm-hmm.
and love company.
Mm-hmm.
If that's how they are, you know, there are some people who prefer to be alone.
Sure. Yeah.
Yeah. But then if I'm someone who I get along with people, mm-hmm. I love people.
Mm-hmm.
So yes, I still love people. And at least speaking for myself, I don't think people should be embarrassed to talk about my late husband.
Right.
Brings back good memories.
Okay.
Yes.
Yeah.
And if there's anything that they remember about him, that is good.
That's nice to share. Yeah.
Share it and let's have a good laugh.
Yeah.
Because my husband had a real good sense of humor.
Oh, okay.
And he used to make people laugh a lot.
Wonderful.
Yes. So, yes.
And then also, what kind of encouragement would you give to somebody that might have or might be going through the same thing that you went through?
Oh, that's life happens. Life can be tough. But then God is on the lookout for the oppressed.
Hmm.
and downhearted. Mm-hmm. And if you call out to him, he will answer you. Mm. And you will know that, yes, indeed, this is God answering. I mean, you are not going to hear a booming, audible voice.
Yeah.
I am the Lord.
That'd be nice. No. But
that would be nice. I would be freaked out if I heard a voice like that. Yeah, but then you feel it in your spirit that God is talking to you, that he's consoling you. He is, as is it Zephaniah chapter 3 somewhere, I think 17 says, he sings over you. He sings over us with love.
Yeah.
Yes. And he does that. God's word is his word. If we turn to him earnestly, you know, he knows everyone's heart.
Yeah.
So if you are really true and turn to him, oh, he will welcome you and talk to you in a way that is real to you.
Mm.
There are some people who, you know, it depends on the way that you hear God. Some hear God through dreams. Some people do not even bother to remember, cannot even remember their dreams. So God will not talk to them in a dream.
Yeah.
He will come to them. He'll meet you at your level. Mm-hmm. Oh, yes. That I know about God. And that's what makes me determined to stay with him no matter what.
Yeah.
He's good. He's kind.
That's excellent.
Yes.
I love that.
Yeah.
That's great encouragement. And I'm not sure if you have one memorized off by heart, but I always ask for a Bible verse that has had an impact on you and your journey. Is there something that stands out? You've mentioned a few verses already.
Yeah, I mean, so I don't even know. Okay, Jeremiah 29:11.
Okay, yeah.
The plans I have for you are plans of good and not of evil.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know, I can see God as earnest. Yes. And there's this other one, Psalm 46:10.
Mm.
Be still and know that I'm God.
Absolutely.
Don't fret.
Yeah.
Just be still.
Just be still. It's so peaceful there.
I'm God. I'll do it. I know you. I know how to get you out of this predicament.
Mm.
I know how to deal with you even more than you would.
Yeah.
So be still and know that I am God.
Yeah.
I'm your father. I love you. I sing over you.
Mm-hmm. Oh, that's beautiful. Yeah. Thank you so much, Margaret Mary. I think you just wrapped it up so perfectly there. There's no more anything that we could say but that. So let's be still and let's know he's God.
Thank you
so much for interviewing with me.
Thank you.
It's a pleasure.
It's been a pleasure too for me.
Okay. Take care.